This Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Rodenizer Home Services. If you're looking for a career with training and growth opportunities, Rodenizer is hiring experienced plumbers, electricians, and HVAC service and install techs. At Rodenizer, you aren't just a number, you're a part of something big. With aggressive pay and full benefit packages, Rodenizer is committed to providing an encouraging culture to put your career first. Go to careers.rodenizer.com to apply.
B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, hi everybody, welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you on a Wednesday, August 18th from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. I'm joined by Big Jim Murray in the Maz chair, Adam Jones, the Dark Knight, in the third chair, but not doing the updates, I don't think. Again, I get confused by the whole thing. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Good, you?
Peachy, thank you so much. Jones, I don't care how you are.
It's just for continuity's sake, Mike, because at some point you're just going to keep saying, and here's Murray with the headlines.
I know. Right. So, whatever.
Murray offered, and I was like, go nuts.
Felger, Murray, and Jones, that's the deal. And even though it's a Wednesday, we're going to be joined by a fourth. It's Tuesdays during the football season, but this week, because there were commitments down in Philadelphia with the Patriots joint practices, Greg Bedard couldn't do it, but he's going to do it today. Greg was on last week, right? When I was off? No, this is it.
This is his first debut.
A big boy.
Maiden voyage.
Are you there?
I am here.
All right. Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, joining us for the very first of his Big Boy Tuesday stints. Of course, it isn't on Wednesday, but there you have it. Big Boy, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Oh, just peachy. Thank you so much. Now, you tell me, do you want to start by airing Felger and Maz's grievances, or do you want to start off talking football?
Let's give the listeners something they haven't gotten on the show in a long time. Actual football talk. How about that?
Okay, so you want to start talking football. Okay, but...
Sounds like a grievance.
Store up those grievances, okay? We'll get to them.
Yeah, don't worry. I'm sure they will unleash themselves at some point.
Okay, so Bedard's got some pent-up material, but let's just start off talking football. And if we can, we're going to put off the quarterback thing just for a little bit. It'll be a...
What?
A prominent part of the conversation, but let's just start off with just some other stuff. How do they look in general, Greg? How do you feel about the team after whatever this is now, 4 weeks?
It's a tough camp to gauge, Mike. I mean, I know I've written about it and you guys have talked about it. The ramp up has been so slow, it's hard to get a good handle on the team. And plus, with what's been going on the injury front, specifically the tight ends, Aguilar, the wide receiver, has even been in and out of practice at times. It's as far as the offense, it's hard to get a handle on what they're going to be. I think they spent most of their time working on specific things. And defensively, you know, there's a lot of new old pieces coming together. You don't have Stephon Gilmore out there. It's at this point in camp, Mike, I would say historically, I have a better handle on the team to this point, but I think it just goes to speak how much things have changed with the CBA and the practices and the padded practices and this and that. It's a completely different way to view training camp now, so it's hard to say. I will say I think they're talented. It's just a question of when all that talent comes together. And I look at a team like the Bucs last year, and they really only brought in the quarterback. Other than that, a lot of the pieces were already there. They were 7-5, sort of floundering at the middle of the season. Then they won their final eight games and won the Super Bowl. So I think the Patriots are in sort of the same ballpark as a team like that with the Bucs. They have more talent. It's just, when does it come together, and is it too late or not?
Yeah, how about the Philadelphia practices, Greg? I know you wrote about it on day one. Did they get it taken to them a little bit by the Eagles? Were the Eagles, did the Eagles have more edge or energy or, I don't know, something along those lines? Was there any concern there?
Absolutely. There wasn't any concern, but did the Eagles take it to them? Yeah. I mean, it didn't surprise me for a couple of reasons. Number one, you have a first first time head coach in Nick Sirianni. You know, the guys are out there trying to impress him. I'm sure he talks about stuff like we have to establish a culture and stuff like that. I'm sure Dan Campbell is doing the same thing in Detroit, where guys are sort of pushing the edge a little bit. And that was going on. I mean, Lacoste got laid out early in practice. There were a lot of the Eagles were diving at ankles. Damian Harris, you know, first carry of practice, some guy dove in at his ankle and he was a little shaken up. That kind of stuff went on throughout practice. The Patriots basically on both sides of the ball got their butts kicked in that practice. I mean, it's just that's what happened. Now, let me say this. That is not unusual for the Patriots in the first padded practice, joint practice of the year. I've seen it happen at the Greenbrier against the Titans. It happened in Detroit a couple years ago when Tom Brady had nobody to throw to. It happens just about every time because Belichick just handles training camp differently than other teams. I mean, the guy's got six Super Bowl rings. He knows what he needs to do to prepare a team.
Eight.
And being amped up for the first joint practice in August is not high on his priority list, where with other coaches it is. And so the Patriots always start slow in the first padded practice. They always come back stronger in the second. I thought they had a good day yesterday, even though it was weird and hard to judge. It wasn't a real practice. It was more just situational third down stuff, and it wasn't even that good of stuff at that. And so, the Eagles took it to them. I will say the most surprising thing out of that practice was that Jalen Hurts basically picked the Patriots apart in both practices at will. I mean, I didn't think much of him last year. I didn't see a ton of him last year, but from what I saw, I wasn't that impressed. I wasn't that impressed with him in college. And he looked great in the practice and picked the Patriots apart.
So did you come away from that thinking they have to get this figured out with Stephon Gilmore, or are there deeper issues?
I don't think there's deeper issues. I mean, do they need Gilmore on the field at some point? Yeah. But look, I am not going to, if I'm Bill Belichick, I'm not giving Stephon Gilmore a Buffalo nickel until he gets on the field and proves he's still a number one cornerback. I mean, he's coming off a torn quad. I'm not handing him anything. If he thinks he's getting money after a torn quad, after a year where he wasn't defensive player of the year, if he thinks he's going to get paid top five, top 10 at his position, there's no way. I would consider it. You come out, you get cleared, you take practice, you show us in practice, you're still the guy. Okay, then I'm thinking about doing something. Until then, I'm not doing anything. And if that means Stephon Gilmore has to sit out half the year, what have you, that's his business.
So where's Gilmore? Where's his head at and his side at? That's the Patriots side. Where's the Gilmore side? Where do you think what's his appetite for sitting out half the year, as you just said?
I think they would do it, but I think that they realize, you know, I've known his agent for a long time, Jason Shiat. He's smart. He's gone to battle with other teams. He knows what he's doing. He knows when he has leverage. But he's also very smart to know the situation. He knows that Stephon Gilmore is coming back from a serious injury at his position, at his age. And if he has full confidence that Stephon Gilmore is still Stephon Gilmore, then you let him get cleared. You let him start practicing and, you know, show the Patriots what they're missing. And then probably the Patriots will reward him. If not, then, you know, then I start the, oh, you know what? My hammy doesn't feel good today sort of thing. But I'm getting on the field. I can't see them in reality thinking that the Patriots are really going to pay them more money without being on the field.
Doesn't he get more leverage, though, every day that goes by when, you know, Jamal Adams gets a deal, when Xavier Howard gets a deal? And he doesn't need more years and more money, but at least to get, like, some sort of pay bump this year, especially when Jalen Mills is out there and playing the way he did in the first game. Like, doesn't he get more and more leverage as time goes by?
Have those guys been on the practice field at all? I mean, didn't Howard report?
Howard reported. I'm not sure he practiced. I know Jamal Adams didn't practice. I know that.
But Jamal Adams, he finished the year last year.
No, right. I mean, he's not coming back from an injury, but he wasn't out there practicing.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's two distinct situations. It's different situations that, you know, those guys have they left off at a certain level. I mean, that's the way it goes, that, you know, all right, well, I did X, Y, and Z last year. I want to be rewarded. Stephon Gilmore is not in that category. Stephon Gilmore is, I was having a down year. I tore my quad. It looked like my career could be in balance, and I haven't proven anything yet. So why would the Patriots give him any more money, regardless of what anybody else does, without him proving that he's healthy for it? They don't even know whether he can run yet.
No, I mean, I understand the Patriots' point of view, and they're probably, you know, quote unquote, in the right. The bigger question to me is, what's Gilmore's mindset and how, you know, he's holding in right now. And if he doesn't get on the field, he stays on PUP, which means you don't come off for the first, I forget what that is, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks. I can't remember what the rule was there. But, I mean, you're looking at a lost season for Stephon Gilmore. That's my concern, whether the Patriots are right or wrong. So if that's one of the things you want to talk about, we'll open up the phones for, we'll open up the phones for Bedard. Any questions for him on the Patriots, quarterback or otherwise, 617-779-0985. Yes, big boy.
I was just going to say, look, and I think this is also germane to the quarterback conversation, is that people need to stop looking at things with artificial timelines and this and that. You have to look at it through Belichick's lens. And what do we know from Belichick throughout his history? He treats the first month, especially since the changes in the CBA, not most recent ones, but even going back to the other one, the first month is like it's glorified training camp. You listen to guys who have Belichick's ear, like Mike Lombardi, who Belichick spent all of yesterday talking to during practice. The whole practice, he talked to Mike Lombardi. And Mike Lombardi is talking about on his podcast about, like, you know, the smart teams are going to extend that window from the first month to 6 weeks. Do you think Bill Belichick looks at the totality of things and thinks, I need Stephon Gilmore in week one as opposed to, say, week nine? Or do I need to know exactly who my quarterback is in week one as opposed to week eight or nine? I don't think Bill Belichick looks at it that way. I think he looks at he plays the long play, and he's going to do that at quarterback. He's going to do that at cornerback. And quite frankly, if Stephon Gilmore does sort of act out and does stay away and doesn't feel like reporting improving his health, then if I'm Bill Belichick, I'm trading for another cornerback. And when Stephon Gilmore wants to return and become a free agent after this season, which he's going to have to do at some point, all of a sudden, I have him for a cut rate. I have him in the lineup. Now, all of a sudden, I have about four good cornerbacks.
Okay.
So you got to take the long play.
Okay. And we'll circle back to the quarterbacks, believe you me. That's interesting. The you know, your take on that. Overall, Greg, and I know it's early, but are there any concerns, any sort of bubbling concerns that you've had the last 2 days or the last 3 weeks?
Well, yeah. I mean, number one is the secondary. It hasn't been good in training camp, and Gilmore wouldn't prove that, but I'm not going to be held hostage by a cornerback. I'll just go make another deal for somebody if that's what I need to do to figure that out. And they have plenty of time to get all that stuff done. I would say the tight ends have become a humongous concern. I mean, when Devin Asiasi is your only healthy tight end, and he still doesn't really know what the heck he's doing out there, it's a concern. When you built your whole focus, you spent $25 million on two tight ends to be the focal point of your quote-unquote passing offense, and they're not out there. Look, do I think they're going to be out there for week one? Yeah, but still, this isn't Randy Moss where he could take off training camp and be ready. These guys haven't proved themselves at all in this league, and they need to be on the field. And then, you know, wide receiver a little bit. I mean, I like Aguilar. I like Bourne. I like both of them. They've been inconsistent. But, yeah, I would say there's a lot unproven in the passing game overall.
Okay, more with Bedard and your call, 617-779-0985, right after this.
Hey, Boston. Cannabis delivery is here from LanternNow.com. Getting cannabis in Boston has always been a hassle, but Lantern has changed the game. I can now get my cannabis discreetly delivered right to my door the same day I place my order. Lantern has made it super easy to find exactly the products that I want. I can browse multiple dispensaries at once and count on my order to be delivered same day. So whether I'm unwinding after work or going out for the night, Lantern is just what I'm looking for. So skip the rush hour traffic and get your cannabis delivered today by visiting LanternNow.com/
gym. That's LanternNow.com/gym.
Please consume responsibly. This product may cause impairment and may be habit forming. For use only by adults 21 years of age or older. Keep out of reach of children. This product has not been analyzed or approved by the Food and Drug Administration. There is limited information on the side effects of using this product, and there may be associated health risks. Marijuana use during pregnancy and breastfeeding may pose potential harms. It's against the law to drive or operate machinery when under the influence of this product. Keep this product away from children. There may be health risks associated with the consumption of this product. Marijuana can impair concentration, coordination, and judgment. The impairment effects of edible marijuana may be delayed by 2 hours or more. In case of accidental ingestion, contact the Poison Control Hotline at 1-800-222-1222 or 911. This product may be illegal outside of Massachusetts.
Felger and Mass.
One big kindergarten classroom. Really is. Just slinging poo at each other. Daycare for grown-ups.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Once again, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. First stint of the season. He'll be Tuesdays during the year. We did Wednesday because yesterday the Pats were practicing in Philly. So big boy Tuesdays have begun. You can join us here at 617-779-0985. A couple open lines if you want to grab them, Greg. So picking up from the last segment, you said that even more so than usual, where Bill treats the first month of the season as an extended training camp because we're now at 17 games. And maybe there's other factors as well. He's going to, you know, take that maybe even one step further and play for the long game. And that relates to the quarterback position. So I take that to mean that you think Cam Newton is the favorite to start the year. Yes?
Yes.
So we really don't have much to argue about after that answer, you know.
Now, do I think he should start the year?
Yeah, go ahead.
That's the question. No, I don't think he should start the year. I think it's anybody who has watched practice, anybody who prides themselves on being unbiased and just, look, what I see on the field is what I see on the field, and I tell you. All right, that's the way I approach this, because I know you guys have said that myself and others have baked in bias in all this, which I just think is just factually wrong. But anyways, watching practice, especially the last 2 weeks, you can't help but think that Mac Jones is the better quarterback for this team right now. And I don't understand what they're doing. Now, could Bill think that, could he have concerns about Mac Jones lasting the season physically? It's possible. I mean, it's possible Mac Jones showed up because, look, it's not like he after the draft he transformed his body or anything yet. He's still pretty. He's got a soft body. It's not exactly the way you draw it up. And so, could he have shown up the first day and Bill looked at him and been like, "This kid ain't lasting a season. There's no way." And did that sort of lead to some conversations and some thoughts about how to handle things? Possibly. But just in terms of what's best for the team, and we know this is going to be a running-based team, you're going to have to do a lot of play action, you're going to have to hit the tight end, you're going to have to be accurate on third downs, they're not going to blow anybody away with going up and down and scoring points. That's this type of offense. Watching practice, Mac Jones is clearly the better quarterback for this team. It's not even a debate.
So, I don't debate that. And bias is... We all want Mac Jones, so we're all sort of willing Mac Jones, you know, into the job. That's part of what I'm referring to. I think there's also an internal tug of war, which, you know, we'll leave to the side for now. But I think that when I say bias, it's like we all look at it through rose-colored glasses where we're all willing Mac Jones onto the field. But
we want the guy that can actually throw the ball.
Yeah, right. So
yeah, but, I mean, look, I understand that. But, like, if Cam Newton was better, if I saw it, and like, look, you're talking to a guy who, even before he signed with the Patriots, I was writing stories about how the Patriots should sign him. He would be a good fit. And I laid off of Cam Newton for a long time last year. I think it was the Houston game where I finally was like, I'm done with this. Like, it's over. Like, he's not making any progress. And I was patient last year. But last year is last year. And if Cam Newton came back in year two, with me, he had a clean slate. If he came back here in year two, looked more comfortable, looked like he was getting the offense, getting them in and out of bad plays. The pre-snap reads were really a lot quicker and this and that. And look, there have been days when I've watched Cam Newton, I've been like, okay, they can play winning football this way. I could see it. But over the balance of it, the more they're in practice and in game situations – the more he reverts back to last year. And I can't get past that. And Mac Jones hasn't been spectacular. He hasn't. He's been good. But in terms of what the Patriots need, they just need a game manager. They need the most important thing is getting them in and out of bad plays. If they get up there at the line of scrimmage and there's seven guys in the box like the other night against Washington, I have supreme confidence that by the season opener, Mac Jones is going to be able to do quick checks and things like that to get them into a better play instead of, you know, getting blindsided and almost fumbling and causing 7 points for the other team deep in your own end. I don't have that confidence in Cam Newton. He with each passing week, he has not improved from last year. He has not sped up. His reads aren't better. And Mac Jones, where he is right now, how far he's come right now, I see it and I say, give the keys to the kid. I can't even think of what he'll be by the middle of the season or by the end of the season. Like, just he's the type of guy, just let him go and let him learn.
But they're not. I mean, I'm with you. I mean, I'm not disputing that whole thing you just said. Give them the keys. But they're not giving them the keys, are they?
No.
So there's a...
Doesn't look like it.
And this is why I say, Greg, I don't believe there was a real competition. Because, look, I believe they're accelerating Mac Jones, and they are doing everything they can to get him as ready as soon as possible. That's clear. They're giving him more run than they would other rookies. Like, that's obvious. But I think Bill's going to play him when he thinks he's ready, almost regardless of what Newton does or doesn't do. And I think they're just kind of on two independent tracks where it's not really a true competition. I just think if Mac Jones was physically ready, he'd put him out there. And it's sort of an independent track, if you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. I mean, I just see it differently. I see it as a season-long quarterback competition. That it's been Mac Jones has been judged since day one. If he wasn't ready, they wouldn't even think about putting him on the field this year. They are, because of what he's done to this point, I think they are fully entertaining putting him on the field at some point, sooner rather than later now, because of how quickly he's come along. And to me, that tells me that is a quarterback competition, that he is going to win the job at some point in time. I don't know if you're putting an artificial game one on it. I'm not. But at some point in time, Mac Jones, unless Cam Newton holds his job and plays well, which I think Bill Belichick looks at it as a win-win situation for him, that unless Cam Newton does that, Mac Jones is going to be the starting quarterback of this team. So that, to me, indicates there has been a competition.
Okay, so, I mean, I don't think saying week one is some sort of artificial deadline. It's not artificial. That's the season.
It's artificial. What is week one mean? How many times? Mike, how many times? What about Kansas City? 1-3 start. You know, hey, are you thinking about putting Jimmy Garoppolo in?
Yeah, they had Tom Brady.
The Patriots treat the first month of the season as extended training camp. And that even goes even more now, because I think Bill looked at the schedule and he looked at how things are laid out and he looked at it and he said, there's no way that we can be ready for week one, week four, whatever. Whatever week he thinks, because he knows better than all of us. He looked at it and he said, there's no chance with the rules the way they are now. We're not going to be able to be up to speed by whatever week. And he determined that this is the course of action that they're going to go. I also think that, look, you can look at the snaps and practice and this and that and inject all the drama you want into it. But the fact of the matter is they're going to go through the third preseason game, because the practices have to be open now that week against the Giants through the game. Then they go behind closed doors for 2 weeks.
I was going to ask you about
anything that could happen after that.
I was going to ask you about that. But again, you're saying that Bill, again, this is the first month is an extended training camp, but don't say it's an artificial deadline. Week one is week one. The games start counting.
No, it's an artificial. It's for you. It's for you, fantasy people, gaming, gambling people, whatever. Yeah. Week one is an artificial season opening day starter.
Greg, no, I mean, I'm sorry, man. Week one is not an artificial deadline. It's a deadline. It's like,
doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean crap, Mike.
It doesn't mean crap, a division game? Like tiebreakers, things of that nature? Like that doesn't, I mean, you don't believe that.
Mike, how many years have you been following this team?
Okay, but
you know that Bill doesn't dial everything up until like the middle of the season, defensively or whatever.
Couldn't you do that with Brady a lot easier than like Cam Newton? Like, like with Brady, you're like, oh, we can slow cook this. And like this, it's a lot different than the last 20 years. You don't have Brady anymore. So I wouldn't slow cook anything.
He is preparing his team. He is preparing his team exactly how he has done it every year. And he has the long game in mind. And he wants to be playing better ball. Look at the Bucs last year.
Look at them last year.
Wait, you don't think the Patriots can be 7-5?
Look at the Patriots last year. They got worse. They slow cooked it and got worse.
Yeah, you know why? Because they had no talent on the team, Jones.
No, I know. I'm saying
don't compare the two.
But I'm saying
they're completely different situations.
But do you think it was Bill's methodology to slow play it, or do you just think it was as simple as
they just sucked, Jones? They sucked.
No, I know.
He knew it. We knew it. They sucked. That's it. End of story. Stop making a discussion about it.
I mean, the quarterback looks like it might still, to be honest.
I am all for the long play. I am all for Bill playing for the middle of the year. Like, I get it. I just think you're going too far by saying week one is artificial. They start with two.
It's artificial. The opening day starter is your sort of radio BS sports talk stuff, Mike. It doesn't matter. If Mac Jones is a starter in week five and they're 2-2, it doesn't matter.
What week do you start going to games, Greg? Week 8?
Forget about that first month.
We do a lot of the talk radio bullcrap. That's it. But the regular season is not. I wouldn't put that on the list. Like, I think that's an unfair accusation.
Mike, What did they start that 1 year when they got blasted in Kansas City?
It's
when
the
they start
season? I 2-2.
When they start? When they start?
I think it was 2-2.
In 1 year they started 1-3. I think they started 1-3. Won the Super Bowl. People buried them.
They also had
about the first month.
1 year they started 8-0 and then got bombarded by the Titans in a playoff game. What does that mean?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay,
it's how you play at the end of the year. It's not how you play in the first month.
You know
it doesn't
what?
Matter who the starting quarterback is week one.
No, Greg,
it doesn't matter.
It.
Greg, hold on.
Don't
Greg. You dare say it.
Greg, get a pen.
No.
Get a pen.
No.
Oh, geez. Here comes the life lesson.
You must have a lot of pens lying around in there somewhere. Dig up a pen. Here
listen.
You go.
Listen yep. to me, Greg. Listen. It's not about getting there first. It's about staying there the longest, right?
Oh, yeah. The life lesson. Exactly.
Well, there it is. What you just said. 3-3 with Bedard right after the update.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Mass Golf. Join over 87,000 golfers in Massachusetts by becoming a member today. By joining, you'll get an official USGA handicap, which helps level the playing field. Learn more by visiting massgolf.org. The tee is yours.
Felger and Mass.
They've been incredibly consistent.
The only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting it?
No.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now, it's time for 3-Up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And 3-Down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on 3rd and 4. I'd rather run them on a slant. With his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. 3-Up.
And the Patriots have won their 6th Super Bowl title.
3-Down.
He sucks.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, the debut edition of the Big Boy here, the Big Boy Tuesday. We'll do it on a Wednesday, obviously. It's our first 3-Up, 3-Down. Sponsorships are available. 3 studs, 3 duds from training camp so far. Greg Bedard, who's your number one star?
Adrian Phillips. He's been great in this camp. He's really shut down tight ends when they've been on the field. He's been tremendous, and now that they actually have beef up front, I have confidence that he's not going to be road runner to a boulder this year and get just completely run over in the run game. So I think he's set up for even more success this year.
Right. So I was going to ask, how are they going to? They used him as a linebacker last year, right?
Yeah. They have been doing that in practice. They have, and this is a little bit of a concern. Kyle Duggar, a little bit more in space. I wouldn't say he's off to a flying start at that so far in camp and in the first preseason game, but I think that Phillips is more limited in space than Duggar. I think it's a lesser of two evils. I think Phillips is more like Chung in that he's better in man-to-man, needs to be up near the line of scrimmage. But Duggar's a little bit of a concern. Even though I love the kid, I think he's going to be a star.
Second stud.
Trent Brown. To me, he's been, to this point, the best free agent addition that they've had. He's been tremendous from day one. I have him 11-1-1 in one-on-one reps, and that includes against the Eagles. And he's a mass of a human to get around still, and he hasn't lost a step. I mean, there are times, you probably noticed this in the game the other night, where he's so quick in his in his backstep, his kick slide that you're like, I think he's offsides, but he's not. And so he's done a great job.
Number three.
I struggled with this one a little bit, but I will go Matthew Judon. I'm not quite as gaga over him as I've heard some of the other reporters be. I mean, look, he was really good the other night. I thought the tackle for a loss, the guy just blew his block. He was unblocked. Anybody can do that. I thought him seeing the running back out of the backfield and recognizing that and dropping out and breaking that up, that was a very impressive play. One-on-ones, he's been okay in camp. He started off really hot. He hasn't been great since. He did not take a one-on-one rep. Well, excuse me. Let me change that, because they did him at the same time in Philly. So the offensive line would be on one side of the field. The defensive line would be on the other. So I watched the defensive line, then the offensive line each day. I switched off. And I didn't see Matthew Judon take a one-on-one rep.
So what does that tell you?
And I've noticed that a few times. I don't know. He could have been in 7-on-7 stuff. I don't know. It just seems odd as an edge guy that he's not taking more one-on-one reps, but I don't want to jump to conclusions or anything yet.
But I thought this when you were talking about him and when he asked you about him in the postgame too. Those three straight plays in a row in that preseason game against Washington where he's popping off the screen, busting up plays, you kind of think they're overrated.
I thought the last two plays were good. I thought the tackle for a loss was overrated. The left tackle just forgot to block him, or the extra tight end. I do think the pass breakup was a spectacular play. I'm not taking anything away from that. That was an unusual instinctive play, especially for a guy first time playing a game in the scheme to recognize that and see that. That's a great sign to me. He had the quarterback knockdown. That was, a good bull rush. So it was fine. I would just say that I haven't been overwhelmed, by him in practice yet, but I could be missing plays that other people are seeing.
Okay, Bedard, three duds. Who's the number one dud?
Guard Will Sherman, who was a 6th-round pick of the team this year. He is 1-9-1 in one-on-ones. He is, it doesn't appear,
wait, hold on,
as they've struck gold again with Mike Owenu.
Will Sherman?
Sherman.
Sherman. Will Sherman is your number one dud.
Yep.
Guard.
Worst of the worst.
Six round pick.
Rookie 6th-round pick guard Will Sherman is your number one dud.
Yeah, yep. His middle name's Tecumseh.
Okay, so number two. Who's your number two dud? Let's try number two.
This isn't going to be any better for you, Felger.
Go ahead.
Devin Ross, the wide receiver. He just has been not good in this camp.
He wasn't supposed to be good, was he?
No.
Okay. Who's number three?
anybody they've rolled out at third cornerback.
Okay, now we're talking. This is a little bit better. Go ahead.
Now we're talking. So Jalen Mills, Michael Jackson,
Juwan Williams,
Tino Jackson, whoever else. Who'd you say? Juwan Williams? Yeah, throw him in there. They all haven't been good enough. They have a real issue there. I'm surprised they haven't looked at more, telling Jonathan Jones to go out and playing more in base. They just seem not to be interested in doing that and bringing somebody else on in nickel. I don't know what they're going to do. I think they're going to, if Stephon Gilmore doesn't get healthy, and again, I think this whole closing down camp after the Giants preseason game and having 2 weeks, I think people are underrating how much the Patriots are looking forward to that, whether it's the quarterbacks, getting Stephon Gilmore in, getting the tight ends back on the field. I don't think Belichick really gives two craps about what goes on until that time, and he has a full 2 weeks to get ready for the season opener. Anything can happen at any position after that.
Well, how many receivers make the team, and are you concerned at the receiver position?
Wasn't that a 10 question? But anyways.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, okay. I have four making the team. Now I have a fifth, but you could take them and leave them. Any of them, but I have, Aguilar, Bourne, Gunner, and Myers. Those are four that are definitely on the roster. Harry, Wilkerson, I mean, those are the only two that are that really have a shot or worth anything, in my opinion.
Well, definitely not Devin Ross anymore.
Well, so where's Harry?
Definitely not.
Is Harry more on the studs or the duds?
Yeah, he's right in the middle. I mean, I know you're not going to like that answer, Mike, but he's right in the middle. I mean, some days he looks good. Other days you forget he's on the field. I do have a chance. I do think
Jimmy,
he has a chance.
Go ahead, Bedard. Keep going. Don't listen to Jimmy. Go.
Let's start this segment.
I, I would like to see him be on the roster and have a chance in them to use his abilities. I think he's closer to earning a spot than not.
Okay. We'll pick up your phone calls back to the quarterback, Jimmy's joke, if you get it. We won't do this segment again, Greg, until week eight, because the first month is just fake talk radio drama.
I'm shocked that you guys are being children about this. I'm really surprised.
Your calls and more with Bedard right after this.
Sports, Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
This Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Coastal Heritage Bank. At Coastal Heritage Bank, they have the privilege of being a community bank committed to enriching the lives of their neighbors, including helping customers become homeowners. Visit CoastalHeritageBank.com to learn about their comprehensive line of mortgage products, including their first-time homebuyer program. Coastal Heritage Bank, growing together. Member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender, NMLS number 45145.
Please, Mass. What the?
Felger and Mass.
What the F are we doing here?
98.5.
What are we doing?
The Sports Hub.
He does all the quarterbacky things right.
Yeah.
Yes. Would I like to see a little bit more maybe backyard like Justin Fields, get out of the pocket, do some of that? Yeah, sure. I don't think that's going to be his game, you know, necessarily. But I still think I liked what I saw in a lot of ways, just because he's such a quarterback, you know, aficionado.
Yep. I mean, there are a lot of people that thought they saw his decision making and the way he was able to deliver in the right spot, the right time, and they were like, I would take him as the top quarterback. There were people that said that in the NFL.
There's a lot of people year. That I know. There's a lot of people that say that.
All right, real quick, before we get your phones, I promise we won't. Greg also has a problem, so just to reset quickly, Greg Bedard's joining us for the big boy Tuesday stint here on a Wednesday, his first of the year, that Cam Newton is likely to start the year week one, but that's not important. What's important is getting into the balance of the year and how you finish, and Bill treats this as a season-long quarterback competition. At some point, Mac Jones is going to take over during the year. That's, I think, the synopsis there. You can weigh in on that. The second thing is, I think you have a problem with our conversation during this week about all the athletic quarterbacks taken in the first round and Mac Jones not being one of them and the Patriots being an outlier in that regard. What's your story there?
My story is that you have no empirical evidence that tells you the athletic quarterback is better than a pocket quarterback, other than, I don't know, who was drafted earlier this year, or I don't know, who put up better fantasy stats. I mean, because if you go back and you look at the recent Super Bowls, it's pretty decidedly in one direction. And I don't have the Super Bowl winners up right now. But, I mean, basically, every year, there's been a pocket quarterback that basically has won a Super Bowl, other than Mahomes.
I mean, don't you think Brady skews it a little bit?
Absolutely. But you look at it and you say, okay, well, last year, Brady beat Mahomes. And look, I don't think Mahomes and Rodgers are... they're athletic quarterbacks, but they're passers at heart. Like they're geniuses in how they operate from the pocket. And they do make the occasional off platform plays, and those are nice. But I don't think they, maybe with Mahomes, with Rodgers, I don't think you look back on 2011 or 2010 season and say, oh, well, you know, this play that he made out of the pocket was why they did it. I mean, I covered those teams. I covered Rodgers. You know, he's best from the pocket, but Brady, pocket passer, beats Mahomes. Mahomes won his Super Bowl. Brady, Nick Foles over Tom Brady. Tom Brady over Matt Ryan. Peyton Manning over Cam Newton. Tom Brady over Russell Wilson. The Seattle defense in 2014, in my opinion, won that. The defense won that Super Bowl. Joe Flacco beat Colin Kaepernick, an athletic quarterback.
So great.
Eli Manning. You know, go on and on and on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what you heard or how much you heard. I've said I would take Mac Jones over Justin Fields. And I'm not telling you that the running quarterback is is better. I'm saying that's the trend of the league. I mean, I'm telling you that when you look at these guys drafted in the last 2-3 years, most of them either have size or tremendous mobility or a big arm in there. And Mac Jones really is none of those things, which doesn't make him the wrong guy. I'm just telling what my whole point is, that Mac Jones is sort of the outlier pick here when it comes to first round quarterbacks and would be franchise quarterbacks. he's the outlier. He runs counter to pretty much every guy that's been drafted in the last 3 years. So maybe the Pats still have it right. I don't know. That's not my analysis. My analysis is that he's different.
Yes, and you are correct on that, but I would say it's not an NFL thing. I would say that's a football thing. I mean, going down to high school, college, I mean, you have to pick from what the pool is, and the pool is becoming the college game, and we have been talking about on this show for years that the college game was becoming distinctly different than the pro game, but at some point in time, the NFL was going to have to become more like college because that's what you're picking from. And that has happened, but that doesn't mean just because Mac Jones is in the minority now doesn't mean that he has the potential to be any lesser of a quarterback.
Okay. So, and it was the jumping off point was just the first preseason game. Not that you should base on anything, but there are guys all over the place, slinging the ball all over the place, running all over the place. And Mac Jones isn't that guy. So the league and the whole sport's gone in one direction, and you've sort of stuck with sort of an older model, which again, it might be right, but I that's just my point. I don't think I'm wrong about that. Let's take some phones here for Bedard. Chris and Everett, lead us off. Go ahead, Chris.
So I know Bedard is probably correct in how Bill Belichick is looking at the preseason and how it doesn't mean anything until the start of the season and he's going to drag it out with training camp and whatnot. But I think there's two factors, and you guys have already mentioned one of them, which is the Patriots don't have Tom Brady anymore. And the other thing is, are we sure that this roster is – I know it's better than last year. I mean, you can't get much worse than last year. But are we sure that this roster is, like, all that and a bag of chips? Because there's a lot of guys on this team who – I don't know if they're worth the money or they're constantly getting injured or what have you. So are we sure that, you know, it's going to work and that he can turn the switch on and they're going to be winning as much as they want to?
So you're asking the elemental question. Again, Greg said before that not only does the preseason not matter, the first 4 to 6 weeks, you can extend that. And it's really an artificial deadline is what you said. Isn't that playing with fire when you don't have Tom Brady or you're unsure of what your roster is?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it could. I mean, it could blow up in Bill's face. But maybe Bill is being naive to, hey, yeah, you could get away with that when you had Tom Brady. Now it's a little bit different. We'll see. I mean, I think the Patriots last year, if I have it correct, I think they started 2-2, sort of like, and they've done that before. Yeah, they were 2-2. Then they fell off a map, and that's when things got bad. But most of the time, the Patriots are in the 2-2, 3-1 range, and they go from there. Could Belichick be wrong? Absolutely. I'm not saying that's the way to go. I'm just telling you the way that I think that he views what's going on with the season, the CBA, and all that stuff. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just telling you, I think that Bill doesn't really care about the season opener. He doesn't really care about the first month. He's trying to get a team ready to play its best football the second half of the season.
No, I don't think that's wrong. I think it's wrong to say week one's an artificial deadline, but Bill, that's the way Bill handles it. Do you think he cares about week four, Greg?
No.
Oh, come on.
I mean, a little bit. I don't think he wants to be embarrassed or anything like that. But I don't think so. These guys are just singular in their focus the week to week, and you know, I'm sure. Jay Stuhl will make fun of that or whoever, but I mean, it's true. And you were playing Chris Sims, and he said on that podcast too, he talked about like, he went in there when he worked for the Patriots. He was like, oh, you know, these guys will take a week off. They'll look ahead, stuff like that. And he talked about how he's never seen more, and he's been in a lot of organizations as a player and other things. And he says he's never seen a more singular focus than with the Patriots. It's really unbelievable. And so, you know, personally, yeah, does Bill want to win that game? Sure, but I don't think he's going to pull out all the stops to do it.
Going back to what the caller said and how you were talking about some of the new talent that they have added earlier, Greg, Jonnu Smith, Henry, Jalen Mills, you weren't as impressed by Matthew Judon as others. Is it possible we've just overrated some of these guys that they've added in the offseason?
Well, it depends if you've rated them. I mean, I think the caller made a valid point in that, look, the Patriots went about spending their money in a very specific way this year. They tried to get, because most of the time in free agency, what you get in most years is you get guys sort of at the tail end of their career, they might be going on the downside. The Patriots made a very conscious effort to spend money, and they certainly are trying to get guys on the upswing. Young guys and guys who are entering their prime instead of paying them at their prime, and they might fall out. And they had a chance to do that this year. It was abnormal. That was their game plan. I have no clue whether it's going to work or not. They could have missed on all these guys. I don't know. They're certainly more talented. But is it all going to work? Is it all going to work this year? I have no idea.
Okay, folks, your thoughts on if Greg is right about Bill's approach, that it's the same as it's always been, which is soft opening, build for the middle of the year, build to be better at the end versus the beginning, and how that relates to the quarterback position is they're bringing Mac Jones along for that time, not week one. How do you feel about that if that's the case? 617-779-0985. 90 seconds for an update, no commercials, then right back to you.
Boom Boom Games, your home for 80s and 90s retro video games, wrestling figures and collectibles, vintage toys, cards, comics, and all your nostalgia needs. They've got something for every console, from Atari 2600 to the PS5 and Xbox Series X. Looking for a specific video game? Let them know and they'll try to source it for you. Do you have some old consoles or collectibles? Bring them in, because Boom Boom Games buys and trades. Boom Boom Games is also your store for Star Wars toys, Pokemon, and the wrestling section will have you feeling that sweet chin music. Boom Boom Games in Billerica. Check them out.